2 pitch. Swing and a miss. Shut him out. The Philadelphia Phillies are 2008 World Champions of Baseball. It's Wednesday, October 19th, 2016. Welcome to the Philly Press Box Radio Roundtable, brought to you by StopForKisses.org, the online shopping network of the Kisses for Kyle Foundation. I'm Bill Furman. I'll be your host tonight, along with my partner, Jim Chet Chesko. And Chet, I have to ask you, have you recovered from the Sunday beatdown at the hands of the NFC East rival Washington Redskins yet?
Boy, what a difference a couple of weeks makes, Bill. You start 3-0, everybody's thinking maybe a deep run in the playoffs, maybe even Super Bowl now. At 3-2, there's a lot of doom and gloom out there.
Well, we're going to get back to that shortly, but we're going to talk Sixers season preview tonight with D. Lynam. We have our trivia question back tonight. We'll have Fred Hugo with his Fred and Butter time picks. And, boy, did I stink up this week. The Pick'em Pool has yet another winner, and Carl's Card's up. Signing update, a little different plan for next week's show that we'll discuss. We are jam-packed again tonight.
Yeah, we'll see who jumped off the Wentz wagon. Need to squeeze in some Flyers talk too, Bill, so let's get it going.
We will. Okay, hey, before we get started, we want to let our listeners know that we will have our Carl's Cards and Collectibles trivia question tonight about 7:29. So we'll be giving away a signed 8x10 color photo of Eagles tight end Trey Burton to the first person that can call and correctly answer our trivia question. The shopforkisses.org phone line to answer that trivia question is 929-477-2855. That's 929-477-2855. So with that business taken care of, let's welcome back tonight's guest, making a return visit to Philly Press Box Radio Roundtable, Comcast Sportsnet Sixers, D. Lynam. Welcome back, D.
Good evening, gentlemen. How are you?
Doing all right.
Better.
D, thanks for joining us again. And by the way, great seeing you at another Sixers Beach Bash in August. That was a lot of fun.
That's always fun, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Now, we are 1 week away from opening night, and D, there are still a lot of unanswered questions. So, first of all, before we talk about Joel Embiid, and we will talk a lot about him, what is the health status of the other bigs, Jahlil Okafor and Nerlens Noel, and is it still a possibility that one of those guys might be traded at some point?
I do think it's a possibility that one of them will be traded. At what point? That part I don't know. I think you will definitely see Jahlil on opening night, which obviously is this coming Wednesday, or a week from now. And I think everybody knows you're not going to see Nerlens Noel that night. And how long he is out, I really don't know.
Yeah, somewhat surprisingly, Joel Embiid actually saw a lot more preseason action than either of those other guys. In limited preseason minutes, 14 or 15 minutes a game, Embiid averaged 11.2 points and 5.8 rebounds. Not bad, although he's been a turnover machine also. What do we know about Embiid at this point?
Well, first of all, let's take a little bit of the turnover back, because the one game he had 7, so that's skewed in a way. And the other thing is I think he had 62 points in 85 minutes played. When you think of it and try to wrap your head around that part of it, I mean, he's just such a presence in the post. He wants the ball. He demands the ball. He has great hands. He's very hard to move off the block. And I think for me, to see a guy of his size that wants to play defense the way he does, when he's already, you know, a gifted offensive player, you just don't see those two-way players very often. Now, obviously, he has to stay healthy, but, I mean, this kid is so talented. I've told people, take yourself down to the stadium or arena and buy a ticket just to see this guy in person, because I'm not sure TV does him justice.
Wow, I that was what I was going to ask you. What your first impressions were of seeing him live? That's pretty high praise. So let me take it one step further. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say. I mean, I don't think I'm one that gives out high praise like too easily. And I'm just saying, seeing him in person, he's just different. I mean, I watched Allen Iverson for 10 years, and I knew what a gifted, talented kid in a totally obviously different body. This guy, if healthy, has a chance to be that kind of special player. He really does.
Wow, that's great. That's what we want to hear. Well, they did a little experiment for a couple games with Okafor and him out on the court together at 6'11 and 7'2. What was your opinion of that?
Playing Joel and Jahlil?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. So I think it costs you a whole lot defensively, because I don't think Jahlil is a four. But I also don't think he's a great defensive player anyhow, and he is a gifted offensive player. So to me, I get why you do it, and it can work, but you will have to figure out how you're going to deal with what is happening at the defensive end.
So, Dee, who are the starters as we head into the season? Who's the point guard? What is the rotation? You know, how are the bigs going to play together? Where do the points come from? I have a lot of questions.
So I think you'll see the starting lineup. I do believe he'll go with Sergio Rodriguez as his starting point on opening night. And then at the two, you'll have – could be wrong. And personally, this city loved TJ last year. But you love him when he's a backup. I think when he starts playing a starting role, people get so frustrated so fast. I see it on Twitter. And it's because that's not where he belongs. You know, he belongs in the league, but not in the starting lineup, in my opinion. I have real questions about what they have at the point. And I understand that Jared Bayless was going to be your starting point guard and now is hurt and has been hurt. But I'm not even sure that was the right decision because he's a combo guard. He's not a point guard. And I do believe this is a fourth straight year that they're going into it without a true point guard. And I think it does a disservice to trying to develop some of these guys when you're constantly turning the ball over. And I mean, last year they were 29th in the league of 30 teams, and the two previous years they were 30th in turnovers. So it's been an issue, but I think a lot of that is attached to the rotating door of not having a stable point guard situation. So, but anyhow, that said, Sergio, Gerald Henderson, Robert Covington, Darius Saric, and Embiid is my belief of what you'll see come next week.
Interesting. What Dario Saric, there was an interesting article I read from Bob Cooney just this morning. I guess it was this morning or last night. And
yep.
Saric was talking about maybe being a little bit tired and a little bit of this and that already. Shoot, it's a long season. It hasn't started yet. It's the is he legit in being tired, do you think, or is he, is he in for a rude awakening in this league?
Well, I think he is in for – I wouldn't call it a rude awakening because I think he does see it coming. Keep in mind that in Europe, where he's been playing these last couple of years, you play twice a week. It's not an 82-game schedule. On top of that, he played for his national team, played in the Olympics, and now the speed of this game is very different than what he's used to. If you put all three of those things together, I think it's as much a mental tiredness as it is a physical for him right now. And I understand the question, like it hasn't even started yet, but I can see where it's just a lot for him to take on right now. And I actually spoke somewhere last night and I said to them, have patience with this guy, because I think it could be a tough year for him, but I think in a year, so much of this will be better for him. And keep him, English is not his, you know, first language, and he doesn't use it all the time. So the whole verbiage on the court, trying to understand his teammates, it's just a lot coming at the kid all at once.
I like what I saw of Saric. Right.
He's
I like what I saw. He's got potential for sure.
Oh, fundamentally sound. I mean, it's so nice to see somebody come in the league who has good footwork, knows where he's supposed to go on the court, understands the game in the way a lot of European players do. And, I mean, I'm not trying to knock what we do, but I think, you know, over time, AAU has develop a different style of play here in the U.S. And if there's a reason that they build even our Olympic team differently than being the 12 best athletes that are in the NBA. They don't build that team like that anymore. And there's a reason. And I think Sarge brings some of those things that you love about a just fundamentally sound basketball player.
Speaking of footwork, Ben Simmons, the number one draft pick, has had some work done on his foot. See what I did there? Regarding Simmons, D, the Sixers have said there's no real timetable for his return. Now, we've heard he could be ready sometime in January, maybe February, but it's also possible he might be held out for the entire season. What are you hearing about Ben Simmons?
I mean, obviously, they like to keep everything close to the vest in terms of sharing any of the information when a guy has been injured, and we've seen plenty of them over the last 3 years with this organization. But I do go and talk to orthopedic surgeons that aren't their surgeons. It's injury. It's the worst for basketball players, and the repetition of it, having a problem a second time happens frequently. Kevin Durant would be the example of that. So if you know that, and if you know this organization, put two and two together, and you know where I'm going with that.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I do.
Back to talking about Nerlens Noel and Okafor and Embiid. How, assuming one doesn't get moved in some reasonable time frame, how is that going to work out? How are they going to be able to figure out how to get those three guys on the court, especially if Embiid, turns out to be a star pretty quickly?
Well, if Embiid stays healthy, they're not going to all be on the floor. That's just true. Obviously, they have laid the groundwork to say Embiid's not going to play back-to-back games, certainly to start this season. Now, as I say, what he has done in the preseason has opened that door up again to say, because he's so gifted, why would you want him on the bench? Do you understand? So I think there might be a greater problem that they didn't anticipate because they never dreamed he would be healthy enough like he has shown he is to this point. So they figured they could at least buy some time. But if he's healthy and he's going to be on the floor and he's your best, he's definitely their best offensive player for sure, that one of those guys on a given night isn't getting minutes. You just can't play three centers like that.
Dee, you made a cameo appearance on our show here in early September, a couple of days before you headed up to Springfield, Massachusetts for the Hall of Fame inductions. I know you were working, but you're also a fan. So what was that like, seeing Shaq, Yao Ming, and especially Allen Iverson getting inducted?
Wow. You know what? I spoke about this last night, too. So I've been to a number of them because Larry Brown went in. I was up there for that. I was there when John Chaney went in. Moses Malone went in. I was there when Charles Barkley went in. And I got to tell you, this one for me, I so enjoyed the ceremony, the speeches. They were so thoughtful in what they said, and they were so true to their personalities. And, I just sat there. I don't even think I tweeted one thing during the ceremony, maybe before it started, but I was just so engaged in listening to that group speak. And Izzo was part of it, Cheryl Swoops, because I worked in the WNBA for almost 10 years. So I was around when she actually was still playing. And I just thought it was so classy, really well done. Obviously, I have a soft spot for Allen Iverson. It was a big chunk of my career to be able to cover a guy like that. A Hall of Famer doesn't come down the pike every day. Obviously, I'm seeing that now. So all of it. And the appreciation for Shaq and how smart and what he has done so much after his career, let alone what he did when he was on the it was fascinating. I loved it.
It looked like it was a lot of fun, even though it got off to a little slow start when AI didn't make the first part of the first day.
Correct. But, those of us who have been around him a long time, we weren't exactly shocked.
No, I don't think really anybody was. Well, hey, Dee, I know you've been with us before. You know Chet likes to do a segment we call Fast Five, where he asks you five pretty simple questions and you give five pretty simple answers. You up for it?
Oh, sure. I hope I have good simple answers in my head.
Oh, you will.
Let's give it a shot. Fast Five
right,
with D. Lynam. All right. D, first of all, who is the best player in the NBA right now, LeBron, Steph, or someone else?
LeBron, Steph, or someone else. I have to go with LeBron.
Okay. Yeah, you just won a title. Why not? If Ben Simmons is held out all of this season, who leads the Sixers in scoring?
If Joel Embiid is healthy, even if he is averaging, let's just give him 25 minutes, I still think he's their leading scorer.
Yeah, probably right. You were talking about the Hall of Fame induction ceremony. What was your favorite part of that ceremony in September?
Selfishly, probably when Alan said my name to the whole world and thanked me. But I think there was a part of me that so loved how Yao Ming set the table for the whole night. And here's the guy again. It's just his second language. I just thought there, and I was in China and interviewed him live when he was drafted number one overall in 2002 by the Rockets. So there was I had a soft spot for, and then I have an affection for the guy and what he was able to do in a career that I wish had gone longer for him.
Yeah, Yao and Shaq were both great, that's for sure. Dee, excluding basketball and golf, what sport are you most likely to watch on TV?
Well, you took the two out that I do watch. Well, no,
of course.
Instantly after that, football.
Okay. And finally, do you know I have to get a prediction from you? The Sixers won 10 games last season. What is your best guess as to how many they'll win this season? And let's assume Simmons is not going to play at all this year. How many wins if Simmons sits out the season?
How many wins do they have? Without him, you're saying, right? I got you.
Without Ben Simmons.
22 is my max. 22.
Okay. 22. Bill and I are going to make ours in the second half of the show, but sounds good, 22. All right. Thanks, Dee. You got an interesting season for sure, and nice job again with Fast Five.
I love it. Thank you guys for having me. I always appreciate it.
Hey, Dee, one thing I want to say to you on the way out is I certainly respect your knowledge. You've been doing this a long time, and you have me excited because I can hear excitement in your voice that you think there's progress going forward, and this, there really is high hopes out there.
There is high hopes, and I guess I just like to temper it. While I love seeing a talent that I believe that they have in Embiid, unfortunately, I wish it translated into more W's this year, and I don't think that will be the case, but I think it will be fun to watch something that really is truly potential and not just assets that are somewhere off and in picks that haven't been done yet.
Yep, something to be excited about. Fantastic.
Thanks,
Steve. Right,
we'll talk again soon.
Thanks for
you got
we're
it.
Hope
Thank
you're ready.
You.
We hope you're ready to come off the golf course and hit the basketball court.
Absolutely.
All
See
right,
you,
Dee. Thanks. All right, Jed. Hey, let's remind our listeners that by logging on to our new Philly Press Box Radio website, www.phillypressboxradio.com, you can now listen to our live shows directly through the website, as well as through Facebook and Blog Talk Radio. And we'll talk more about the website a little bit later on, but I know if you're looking at it right now, because I am, there is a button that's blinking over there on the left and says Live Now. All you have to do is click over there, and you can be listening to the show if you're listening to it some other way than that tonight if you want to do that at a later time. So I want to let the listeners know that that is up and running and ready to go.
You got it.
Jet, let's talk Eagles. We both wrote our opinions in our blogs on Sunday night, and that was shortly after the 27-20 Eagles loss. It was far worse than the score. A few days have passed to think about it, so now what's your midweek analysis?
I'm still ticked about it, Bill, I got to be honest. We were all in love with Peterson and Schwartz in September, but post-bye, it's obviously been a different story. As I wrote Sunday night, they were absolutely out-coached by Jay Gruden and company. And come on, Doug, you knew all along that Lane Johnson was pretty certainly going to be suspended, and yet you didn't have a workable plan ready to go. If the plan all along was to move Halepulavati Vaitai in there at right tackle, why didn't he even dress for the first four games? He could have been given some playing time, especially in the blowout win over the Steelers, for example. Could have gotten more work in advance in practice. As for Schwartz and the defense, what the heck's going on? Bill, you had as many tackles as Fletcher Cox the last two games. He's been invisible except for those two key penalties. And there's a missing persons report out there for Vinnie Curry and Connor Barwin, too. The wide nine, I guess, isn't a good fit for either of those guys. So, yeah, I'm still a little bit surly here 3.5 days later.
Well, I tell you what, I did make one tackle for somebody that was trying to reach into the cooler. So
well, there you go. So you did
so
better than Fletcher.
Well,
I love
it. Well, I tell you what, I am going to address some of this in my parting shot, which you just addressed, so I'll hold off on that. But I'm gonna go out on a limb right now and say, don't panic. It's a long season. It was a bad game. You could probably pick anybody on the field and say that they didn't do what they were supposed to do. And you know what? It's one of the dumpster fire games. You learn from it. You throw the tape out. You get ready for the next one. And that's what they're going to do. And we'll see how they act this week against another tough opponent. And we'll get to this in our predictions. But I'm going to tell you, I think they're going to play better.
Yeah, I think they're going to play better too. We have. I think we both feel something is going to happen this Sunday, which we'll talk about. And I'll tell you right now, Jim Schwartz is going to be fired up and have those guys play a whole lot better than he did against Washington, because I know he is embarrassed by what happened on Sunday. So I'm looking for better things from the defense. I mean, it couldn't get much worse, let's face it. And by the way, Bill, on our website that you mentioned, phillypressboxradio.com, we started doing a weekly poll. We just unveiled it on Monday. And for our first one, which, as I said, hit on Monday afternoon, we asked fans how they saw the Eagles doing in the wake of these two straight losses. So I just looked at the numbers, and they're actually pretty much exactly what I expected them to be. Not surprisingly, no one looks for a 12-win season anymore. There were a few before the season, when they started at the beginning of the season, they started winning. Nobody now looks for 12 wins. 21.5% of folks expect 10 or 11 wins. Another 21.5% say 7 wins or fewer. The majority of the votes, though, are right in the middle, as 57% of respondents said 8 or 9 victories. And I could tell you, I was one of those voters. I'm saying 8 or 9 wins at this point. So I think the fans, have a feeling that, yeah, maybe they're not quite a playoff team just yet, but they're probably not dreadful either. So that makes sense, 8 or 9 wins at this point.
Well, I voted also, and I picked 8 or 9 wins, but I had 8 or 9 wins at the beginning of the year. So I'm sticking with
yes,
what I had, at least for now.
Yep.
We'll go from there. But I tell you what, the one thing, two things, actually, that I think that they really have to do better, really have to improve on that bother me is more maybe than the fact that they just got hammered. One is you can't have penalties every week. You can't survive. They're averaging, I believe they have 49 penalties in 5 games. So they're averaging 10 penalties a game, basically. You certainly can't do that and expect to win in this league. And secondly, on the defensive side of the ball, their tackling is atrocious. And even some of the guys, Malcolm Jenkins for one, missed tackles. Bad enough the fact that the linemen and the linebackers aren't really making plays. The defensive backs aren't tackling well. So, I think those are self-inflicted wounds. They're things that you can fix. And I expect that they're going to fix that this week. I think they'll play better because of that. And if the defense plays better, the offense will have some rhythm and the offense will be able to run like an offense instead of how they've had to do it really in the last two games.
You mentioned the penalties. They had a few the first 3 weeks, I guess about 6 a game, but they were not killer penalties. Nothing that really hurt them all that much. I mean, when you're winning, you don't even notice them that much. When you blow out a team like they did against Pittsburgh, that wasn't a factor at all. But these last couple of weeks, 13 and 14 penalties in those two games, and a lot of costly ones. I know some of the calls were probably bogus in that Detroit game, but I'll tell you, this last week against Washington, they earned pretty much all of those penalties with the exception of one or two maybe. That's got to be cut down immediately, and part of that is coaching. Part of it's just, guys being dumb. As Jim Schwartz said a couple of weeks ago, if you're a dumbass, you're going to be a dumbass after a while if you keep doing the same thing. So, know that you can't hold a guy. You can't block in the back. You got to be careful around the quarterback's head. Be smart out there. So, yeah, cutting down on the penalties is a must. For me, that's one key. The other key is, as you said, better tackling and also just making adjustments. Against the Lions, Schwartz made adjustments in the second half, and the team was a whole lot better in the second half than in the first half. But in Washington, that was just a bad game all around on both sides of the ball. And, you know, Peterson's got to take some of the blame, as does Schwartz.
Well, I think the blaming the coaches for some of this stuff and blaming the coaches for penalties, I think that's a little harsh in the fact that, like you just said, you know, they only had six in the first three games. Well, they didn't practice penalties in the next two games to get 13 and 14 in the next 2 weeks, you know, to get ready for them games. Say, hey, let's get double the penalties this week. I mean, if you coach them up to only get six in the first three games, you should not get more than six. You should get less, you know. So, I mean, the players have to make plays. The Fletcher Cox penalties are just ridiculous. And that's on nobody but Fletcher Cox. Nobody told him go smack the quarterback in the mouth late. You know, players have to make plays at some point, and like you say, those stupid things. It's not like where you're maybe in college or, you know, where you have expanded rosters and you just yank them out and put somebody else in. There is nobody else to put in. So these guys just have to do a better job.
And they're almost certainly going to be without Benny Logan this week, which is a big concern because he's one of the best guys they have in stopping the run. So they're going to miss Logan if he is indeed out. But the guys they do have, they got to tackle better. They got to be smarter if they're going to beat a 5-0 Vikings team.
Do you know, because I don't know this, I understood today that five guys did not practice. And I know Jordan Matthews is one of them who is questionable for this game. Do you know who the other guys are and what their status is?
I don't, other than Logan and Jason Kelsey, because Kelsey's got plantar fasciitis, so he's day-to-day. I'm going to think he's going to be able to play on Sunday. I don't know who the other two guys were. I didn't see that. But speaking of Kelsey, I mean, we're putting so much blame on the Big V. I think Kelsey had as bad a game as the Big V did. He took a couple of more costly penalties. He's been a penalty machine this year. And he's just getting run over on a lot of plays. So I don't know if he's just wearing down. He's not a real big center, but I think Kelsey is probably on his last legs in terms of being an Eagles center. They're going to have to revamp much of that line next year.
I wouldn't be all that upset. Not that I want anybody to be hurt. I wouldn't be all that upset if Wisniewski got an opportunity to play center. And let's see what happens there, because Kelsey is not doing a good job. I think that, you know, that's pretty obvious to anyone. As far as Big V, I think that the announcers, you know, I think they abused the guy. You know, Ryan Kerrigan made three tackles in that game. Three tackles, one assist. And the first one was on Celek. The second one was on Big V. And he got pushed around, you know, for a half a sack later on. He got pushed around. I'm not saying he played great, but he certainly didn't play as bad as John Lynch wanted to make him sound like, because he called him out on just about every play, whether his guy made the tackle or not. So I'm not going with the whole Big V was just gosh awful, you know, all night long. Kelsey was worse.
Yeah, I agree. And you know, you got to cut him some slack too. It was his first game even dressing, and he's going up against some pretty good defenders. So now he's got to play against the Vikings, which is, you know, one of the best defensive teams, if not the best defensive team in the league this year. So it's going to be a game-by-game experience for him, a learning experience. And, you know, you just got to hope that he gets better as time goes on. He wasn't terrible, as you said. It wasn't a Winston Justice situation who gave up, you know, six sacks or whatever in his debut. So, you know, he's got size. He's supposedly got the ability. So let's give him a few games before we're ready to, you know, put him out to pasture.
Yep, he's going to be all right. It's the speed of the game thing. You have to get used to the speed of the game. He's going to be okay.
You got it.
All right.
Yes, indeed.
We'll get back to that a little bit later when we talk with Fred during Fred and Butter time. But first, we have trivia time. So we'll be giving away our signed 8x10 color photo of Eagles tight end Trey Burton, courtesy of Carl's Cards and Collectibles, to the first person that can call and correctly answer our trivia question. The shopforkisses.org phone line to answer it is 929-477-2855. And, Chet, you haven't seen this question, but this is easy. This is easy, okay? You could be sitting around in a robe, a big white robe, and be able to answer this question. All right? Here we go.
All right.
The Eagles have five players who have carried the ball 10 or more times this season. In alphabetical order, they're Kenyon Barner, Ryan Matthews, Wendell Smallwood, Darren Sproles, and Carson Wentz. Which of the five leads the team in yards per carry? Okay? The Eagles have five players who have carried the ball 10 or more times this season. In alphabetical order, they are Kenyon Barner, Ryan Matthews, Wendell Smallwood, Darren Sproles, and Carson Wentz. Which of the five leads the team in yards per carry? Simple
that is
question,
not a layup,
Chet.
Bill.
That is that's a multiple
not a
choice,
layup.
For God's
I mean, there's
sake.
Not
you
an
20,
obvious one.
20% chance of just picking one.
Oh, yeah. Yes, you do. You do.
All right. Well, while you're thinking about that, let's thank our sponsor, ShopForKisses.org, the online shopping network of the Kisses for Kyle Foundation. By logging on to www.shopforkisses.org's website, you become connected to over 3,000 stores, including all the big ones you already shop at. Every purchase made gets you cash back, and each purchase benefits the Kisses for Kyle Foundation, which helps families dealing with childhood cancer throughout the Delaware Valley. If you have any questions, contact Bob Sullivan at bobsullivan.shopcom@gmail.com or give him a call at 484-319-8043. It's Fred
what time
and Butter
is it, Bill?
Time. It's Fred and Butter time with our special guest, Fred Hugo, joining us to provide a breakdown of this week's NFC East games. Fred, welcome back.
There you go, John Roberts. You got your bed and my dad. There you go. How you doing, guys?
Good.
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 You got your own music, Fred.
Surprise,
I love it.
Fred. How'd you like it's that awesome. Little surprise?
That was good. You got me cracking up.
Tell us, before we get to this week's games, how did everyone do? How did everyone else do? I know I scored a hat trick. I was wrong on all three games. So
me
it
too.
Was not a good week for me. What are the standings so far between us, Fred?
Yeah, we all had a terrible week. I mean, 1-2 ain't really that much better. But the standings now are I'm at like a free-for-all here dropping. I had like two losses a couple weeks ago. I'm 12-7. Bill, you're 11-8. And Chet, you're 8-11.
Oh my goodness! Holy
hey
cow.
Guys, let me jump in here. Clearly, this is not my year, so I'm going to switch it up right now and pick only Canadian Football League games. So this weekend, I like Calgary to rout Toronto. In fact, I love the Stampeders in that one. Take Calgary, and Saskatchewan will get past Montreal. There you go.
There you go. All right. Well, Fred, let's get this thing rolling. Let's start out. We got the Giants versus the Rams in London on Sunday morning, followed by the Redskins at the Lions, and finally the Eagles hosting the undefeated Minnesota Vikings. Take it away.
Giants are 3-point favorites against the Rams at that 9:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time game in London. The Rams have lost two straight. But last week, actually, they kind of had a role reversal. Their defense disappeared, and their 32nd-ranked offense actually showed up. Believe it or not, Case Keenum completed 87% of his passes, had 320 yards, three touchdowns. Gurley continues to struggle. Teams are just stacking the box and forcing the Rams to throw the ball. I expect the Giants, they'll do much of the same, and the chances are of Case Keenum doing the same thing they did last week. There's really no chance of that happening. The Rams' defense is really banged up. Their starting corner, Tremaine Johnson's out, and then Michael Brockers and Robert Quinn are also questionable. They couldn't stop Golden Tate, Bolden, and Marvin Jones last week. They got no shot at stopping Beckham, Shepard, and Cruz either. I think Eli has a big day. Giants win 26-14.
All right, here's what I got to say. The Rams moved from St. Louis back to L.A., and now 7 weeks into the season, they're being shipped across the pond. I would think there's a lot of confused football players there. So I'm taking the Giants in that one, 24-20.
Well, I was really surprised that the Giants actually played reasonably well, came up with some big plays against the Ravens and won that game. I really didn't think they would win, although they were at home. I'm not sold on anything much that the Rams are doing. I'm going Giants, much as I don't like them either.
Okay.
Yeah, that game was. They did play, but they almost lost it. I was watching it, like, at the end there, and I'm like, oh, man. But they pulled it out right there on that 4th-and-1. I thought you guys were going, well, at that time it would have been 1-1, and I was going to be 0-2. But next game, Redskins at the Lions. Redskins are 4-2. Lions are 3-3, and the Lions are 1-point favorites as the Redskins roll into Ford Field, winning 4 in a row. Can you guys believe that? That's crazy.
No.
But Stafford's probably playing the best I've ever seen of his career. His completion percentage is 80% on the year. The defensive line, it does give up its share of sacks, but this year they've been better than past year, so he's had time to throw. I looked up, he's 6th in the league in throwing under duress. He's only 6th in the league as far as lowest in the league, so he does have time. With that protection, I think he'll be able to pretty much pick the Skins apart. I have no idea how they're really 4-2. They continue to turn the ball over, but somehow continue to win. They basically, all they have is their 3 big play receivers. Cousins will return to Michigan, Michigan State's where he played, but the same state. I don't know. The Redskins aren't going to be able to run the ball. I think the Lions secondary will be able to control those receivers. Lions will try to get the running game going. I think the Lions win this one 31-21.
Ooh. Ooh. Yeah, the two teams that beat the Eagles over the past 2 weeks face each other now in Detroit, and it is a pretty intriguing matchup. I still don't think either team is great, but as Fred noted, the Skins have played pretty well lately, winning 4 in a row. So even though they're on the road and a 1-point underdog, I like the Skins to win this game. I'm going to differ from you, Fred. I like the Skins to win, and that should tell anyone who's a betting man to bet big on the Lions, okay? But, yeah, I'm picking Washington, 27-17.
Well, I tell you what, you said that, and I started to grab my eraser off of my sheet, because I have the Redskins, and I think they will run the ball. I want to see if they're half as good as what they showed against the Eagles. They pushed the Eagles around, as we said, on both sides of the football. I don't think they're going to dominate everybody like that. But that offensive line was pretty darn good, and certainly
sure
the defensive line was good too. So I'm gonna ride the wagon. I've only been right on Washington one time all season, so I'll probably be wrong. But I'm going to ride the 4-game winning streak, and I'm going to say Redskins in this one.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. Chet, funny story. I had a guy that, like, back when we used to, like, bet on games and stuff, I would call him up if I was in the hole on a Monday night, and I would ask him who he's picking. And I'd be like, yeah, I like him. And then I would just go ahead and put the opposite in and then win my money back. It worked, like, every time almost.
Nice. Yeah, that's the way I feel this year.
So the Vikings come into Philadelphia 2.5-point favorites. Sammy Sleeves returns. The Vikings right now, they're the, in my opinion, the best team in football, and it's solid quarterback play by Bradford, but more importantly, this defense is just amazing. If the Eagles are going to have any chance here, they're going to have to figure out something with the pass protection on that line. With Big V, I agree with you, Bill, that the announcers blew that out of proportion. He didn't play good. That's the wrong way to say it, but he did improve as the game went on. He didn't struggle. The main concern there is Jason Kelce. He looks awful as he's battling that plantar fasciitis. But Wisniewski, I think, took the first team reps today. I think he's awful too. So the line's just an absolute mess right now. I think the only way – Wentz is going to have to get the ball out quick and obviously protect the ball. The Eagles' defense, however, was awful last week, and I expect them to improve. The Lions cannot run the ball. Neither could the Redskins coming into last week. I think the Eagles will stop the run, make them one-dimensional, and we're going to bring Sam Bradford back down to average Sam, which he really is. He's undercover right now. I don't know what's going on there. So, birds will be in his face all day. he hasn't thrown a pick all season. I think that streak's going to end. The Eagles are going to win this one in a defensive sloppy game, 17-16.
Wow. Wait till you hear what I have to say, Fred. And by the way, does it make sense that the Vikings are only favored by 2.5 in this one? Of course it doesn't. Minnesota has that suffocating defense. They have four players with 3 or 4 sacks already this year. The offense has yet to commit a turnover at all. Their turnover ratio is plus 11. Sam Bradford has been quite solid. They have a punter who's pinning opposing teams deep in their own territory. They have a terrific punt returner, 2 returns for touchdowns this season. They're clicking on all cylinders, so it makes no sense to pick against the Vikings in this one. And yet, I just have this crazy, crazy feeling that the Birds are somehow going to pull this one out. They're embarrassed after what happened the last couple of weeks. They're home. Carson Wentz wants to show Sam Bradford that, you know, he's a pretty good quarterback himself. I almost have the same score as Fred. I wrote down mine earlier today. Eagles 17, Vikings 14.
Well, you guys are taking all the fun out of this thing because I think the Eagles are going to come out and play extremely well. I think the defense is going to be fired up. As one of you said, they have been embarrassed. I think they'll play good. You know, in 3 of the 5 games Eagles have played, the opposition has run for less than 100 yards. What we saw last week is not norm. And I don't think that's what you're going to see. Fletcher Cox is going to come play. I think if the Eagles' defense, as I said earlier, can play well, the offense will be able to get something going. And so I'm going Eagles again. I'm going low scoring as well, but not as low as you guys. I'm going 24-20 Eagles. And quite honestly, I thought I would be the only one that picked the Eagles. So I'm really kind of surprised at this. And to Jet, to your point, the reason that the spread is what it is because the odds makers know that that resting game is not what the Eagles are all about.
Okay. Yeah, I'm shocked that it was that low still. But, yeah, I'm surprised also that all 3 of us are picking the Eagles in this one. I thought at least one of us would be taking Minnesota. But, wow, let's see what happens. I can't wait for that one.
That's bad news, actually. If all 3 of us are on the side, that's how Vegas always wins. I don't know.
Right.
But, hey, Calgary Stampeders, a lock. Calgary Stampeders are a lock this week. Book it.
Hey, Fred, I just wanted to ask you, who won that Georgia Vanderbilt game? Never mind.
Oh, stop. Just stop.
Great job again. Always, as always, prepared. And let's see how it goes, and we'll talk again next week.
All right, see you next week, guys. Thanks.
Okay.
Take it easy, Fred.
Hey, Chad, it's Flyers hockey season, by the way, and I feel like you actually have a little more early season interest than your usual January season start. Is that right?
Yeah, that is right. And you know what? I'm going to talk about that in a bit. But we have a call right now, and it's probably for our trivia question, which is basically who is the Eagles' leading rusher in terms of yards per carry this year. So let's see if that's who the caller is calling in about. Who do we have on with us?
It's Dennis Malloy.
Danny Malloy. I know this guy. How you doing,
well,
Danny?
You know what? Hey, Chad, here's how I feel. Here's how I feel, Chad. I know Danny runs with you, so I have a real good opportunity to think that the trivia question will probably not be correct.
Probably. Yeah, you're probably right. And I'm not in my robe, but I am in my PJ.
Thank God for that.
PJ's in no shirt, man. You know what I'm saying?
So who do you think it is, Danny?
I'm guessing Matthews, but I don't think I'm right. But
it is
Matthews.
Not Ryan Matthews.
Yeah, my first guess was Connor Kenyon Barner, but I kind of looked.
Well, you only get one guess. I don't know the answer anyway.
Yeah, I know, but yeah, that's who I was gonna go with, and then I thought Matthews. So, but
nice try,
Matthews,
Danny.
This is not correct. So now for the listeners, you got a 25% chance because Ryan Matthews is out. Thanks, Danny. Appreciate it.
All right. Now you got 4 guys to choose from.
That's right. Okay, we'll read that out one more time for the listeners. The Eagles have 5 players who have carried the ball 10 or more times this season. In alphabetical order, they are Kenyon Barner, Ryan Matthews. We already know it's not him. Wendell Smallwood, Darren Sproles, and Carson Wentz. Which of the 5, or now 4, leads the team in yards per carry. Easy. All right, Chad. Hey,
I think I know who it is, but I'm not saying.
Flyers start. Talk to me about this.
Yes.
It's not January. It's October.
All right, here's the deal. If you can get a point a game on average on the road and win the majority of your home games, you should be all right. So big picture, not bad for the Flyers after these first three games. But look at the trend. That's what we don't like here. A real good win, then a tough overtime loss, and then Tuesday. Yeah, coming back from four goals down to tie it up was nice, but still you lost and you gave up seven goals. The 19-year-old rookies, Konechny and Provorov, have at times looked terrific. But then there was last night when Provorov had a real rough game. He was directly responsible for a couple of those Blackhawks goals, and he was, I believe, a minus five on the night. You don't see that often. And you know me, Bill, I'm never going to be totally comfortable with the current goaltending situation. So that's where we stand with the Flyers heading into their home opener on Thursday night.
Well, and with that said, you know, they collected 3 out of 6 points on the road. Starting the season on the road is never easy, especially all the way out on the left coast and working your way back. So, you know, I think 3 out of 6 points is probably okay. More of the style of play and how it happened last night. But you know what? That they did show something in the third period a little bit where they came back and actually for a minute had a chance to win. Actually had a chance to go ahead 5-4 and didn't get it done. And then the bottom fell back out on them. But, you know, they expended a lot of energy, a lot of young kids playing. And but a key moment, I thought, with that Claude Giroux captaining up or coaching up Provorov. We posted that article on the website, phillypressboxradio.com, of that. And watching it live at the time, it was quite a good move by the captain.
Yep, captain doing some nice work there. I like seeing that. On the bright side, by the way, this season, Matt Reed has 3 goals already. Sean Couturier, whom they're looking to get more offense out of the season, has 3 goals in 3 games. Konechny and Claude Giroux each have 4 assists already. Simmons with a couple of goals. Braden Schenn is now back from his suspension and ready to go in the home opener. So I think they should have a little more firepower this year. So, you know, hopefully they can make the playoffs again. Let's go Flyers.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about a couple Flyers predictions and Sixers and Phillies actually here in just a minute or two. But hey, Jet, we mentioned earlier in the show about the new website, phillypressboxradio.com, and we mentioned last week that during our show we hit the 1,000 visitors in the first week of the site was up. Well, we topped that with nearly 1,300 visitors in week two. And again, we want to thank all the listeners and Philadelphia sports fans that reached out to this site so far. And, you know, we're trying to change it up, put some new things in, keep it fresh, even though it's only a couple weeks old. But it's been simply amazing, the response we've got.
Yeah, we're biased. We're a little bit biased, but that being said, it really is a great site to start your day with, since you have this scoreboard for all the Philly teams, a replay of our latest show, our blogs, plus some of the day's best sports stories from Philly.com and NJ.com. If you haven't checked it out, what are you waiting for? It's phillypressboxradio.com.
Very good. We appreciate it. Hey, on to our Philly Press Box Radio Pick'em Pool. This week we had another new winner. Carl Henderson, our buddy, actually won in with a 10-5 record, Chet, in an 8-person tiebreaker, which came down to Monday night. And I kind of laughed because I saw that Carl had picked 22 points in that game, and I thought, 22 points? Wonder if he made a mistake. Well, lo and behold, the 22 points gets the win. And so good for Carl. He is this week's winner, and he couldn't join us tonight, but let's give a shout-out to Carl for having a great week. And another winner at the top. So in the season standings to win the signed Eagles Reggie White mini helmet after 6 weeks in the books, and remember, one of those weeks drops, Gene McCann stayed on top one more week, but just by the slightest margin, actually percentage points over Jimmy Wilson. Danny Bevins is 1 game back. Cowboy Sean, I don't know how we let him in the league, Chet, other than he's related to Danny Boy. Cowboy Sean, I hope that's for some other reason, like he rides horses or something. You know what I mean?
I'm hoping.
Cowboy Sean and Billy Furman are just 2 games back. There are 21 players within 5 games, and there's plenty of time left. We're only a third of the way through the season, so I don't think anybody should plan on collecting that mini helmet right yet.
Who is this Billy Furman you speak of?
That would be the young son, or the oldest son, my son. That is not me. I'm down in the mix somewhere.
I knew that. I was just testing you.
Well, I know he is. He's on the payroll.
I figured you would.
Well, hey, Chet, you will be off next week for a family event, and it's Cowboys week, for God's sake.
Well, yeah, it is awards night, actually, at my son's high school, and he's a senior with several honors coming his way, so I certainly have to be there for him. And, yeah, the Eagles go from playing an undefeated Vikings team to taking a trip to Big D to play the Cowboys, who have also been playing great. So, yeah, it is Cowboys week. You'll talk more about what you have planned for next week's show in just a second. But I want to mention, even though I won't be here live with you on next week's show, I will have, assuming all goes well, a taped interview with 76ers longtime PA announcer Matt Cord, which should be a lot of fun and just in time for the Sixers opening night next Wednesday.
Very good. Very good. Well, hey, besides Matt, we have no other live guests lined up at this moment, which would be just fine. But here's what we're going to do, Jeff. We're going to have a little fun with this show, okay? We're going to post a short blog on PhillyPressBoxRadio.com tonight after the show, and as soon as we're done, okay? It will have a Hate Dallas cover on it. We want you to click on that picture, and under the post is a spot for comments. There's a little description of what it's about, and then there's comments, okay? We want you to tell us why you hate the Dallas Cowboys. All right, we'll read some of the best ones on the air next week, and we'll pick the best one, you and I will, and we'll invite the writer onto the show, and he can read it, and we'll talk about it. Sound fair?
Sounds good to me.
All right, and for those few Cowboys fans, and I know you have at least one good friend that's a Cowboys fan, we won't even mention him, but if they're out there, feel free to write in and tell us why you are a Cowboys fan as well. We don't know what we're going to do with you, but we'll listen to it anyway. And, Chet, you're going to miss a good time, I'm telling you. We might even have it make it open mic night next week.
Well, if we're dissing the Cowboys, I will be with you in spirit for sure.
Well, we will be. We will be. That's our purpose because I want to hear. I know from the mid-60s why I don't like them, but, you know, these guys, some of these younger guys, we should ask Fred about this while we had it because he's younger than us, and find out why these guys that were in the 90s and 2000s and all that, why do they hate the Cowboys other than because their dad does?
Yeah, I know everybody liked him when Roger Staubach was there in the 70s, but, you know, that was 40 years ago, so you shouldn't like them anymore.
That's right. All right, well, hey, let's we'll have a lot of fun with that, Chet, and I'm sure you'll listen back as soon as you can, and
yep.
Looking forward to it. All right, hey, let's get our signing update at Carl's Cards and Collectibles. Carl's will be holding a private signing with the Flyers' Ron Hextall, and I believe tonight, in about 7 minutes, is the deadline to get anything over to the store for Carl to have signed by Hexy. He'll also be having a private signing with former Bruin Philadelphia Blazer Derek Sanderson. Bernie Parent and Greg Wazinski will be in the store in November as well. For all the details, go to our website, PhillyPressBoxRadio.com, and click on the Carl's Cards and Collectibles banner at the top page, and you'll go directly to Carl's website, or stop by Carl's Cards and Collectibles, 22 West Eagle Road, Havertown, PA, or give Carl a call, 610-789-4996. You can also contact Carl on Twitter at Carl's Cards. And, Chet, also we want to remind the listeners of the Otho Davis 18th Annual Scholarship Banquet on November 9th. This is an event promoted by the Eagles and attended by many Eagles alumni. For information for that event, go to the website, othodavisfoundation.org, or call 856-312-1129. So, Chet, we have one more thing we need to get on the record. We need to make Flyers and Sixers season predictions, and also, how do we do with our Philly season prediction? We never closed that out. We never talked about how that ended up for us.
Well, we did great with our Phillies predictions. I said 72 wins, while you said 70 wins. In reality, it was right in between as they finished 71 and 91. And, by the way, there were four teams in the NL with worse records than the Phils. But, yeah, we were pretty good, just one off in both cases. So
wow.
Kudos to us.
Wow. Okay. All right, let's talk Flyers first.
Let's see. They finished with 96 points last season and grabbed the final Eastern Conference wild card playoff spot. So, because I do think they're better this year, I will say 105 points and perhaps a fifth seed in the East for the Flyers.
All right. Well, and I was going to say I think they're going to get better too, and I think they're going to be 10 points better. So I'm going to go with 106 this year as far as where they finish. Anybody's guess. But I'm going with 106 points, 10 points ahead of last year.
And definitely in the playoffs. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Now,
absolutely.
As for the Sixers, after last year's big 10-win season, very tough to say because, as we discussed with D, we don't know whether Simmons is going to play at all. We're hoping Embiid stays healthy, but that's not a given. We don't know, you know, when or if Nerlens is going to be traded and for what. So a lot of variables here, but you need a number, and they have to be better than last year's 10-win season. And I wrote this down earlier today, and it's exactly what D. Lynam said, 22 wins.
22. Well, you know, I've been thinking about this as well, and, you know, I want to say 26, but then – you know, the whole Simmons thing and the whole how you're playing these three guys and all this, I think he talked me out of it a little bit. So I think what I'm going to do, I'm going to change from my original 26, and I'm going to say, as I did, 10 points higher for the Sixers. I'm going to go 10 wins more for the Sixers. So I'm going to go 20 wins.
All right, so you
really
say 20,
wanted,
I say 22.
I really wanted to be 26. I really wanted to be 26.
Just like our Phillies prediction, we're off by two, and you know maybe it'll end up right in the middle at 21 here, so who knows.
Yeah, I'd rather it end up 26, but I think they're going to be fun to watch, so let's just go with that. All right, Mr.
Yes, indeed, I can't wait to see him.
Do you have a parting shot for the week?
I do. As I said on last week's show when we were making our doomed picks, that if the Cowboys were to go into Lambeau Field and beat the Packers, that we might as well anoint Dallas the NFC East champions. Well, the Cowboys did indeed beat the Packers, and pretty handily at that. So, despite my hatred for all things Cowboys, I will give them credit. They drafted a great running back, they have a very good offensive line, and it sure looks like they have a quarterback for the long term in Dak Prescott, who, by the way, will be under center when the Cowboys host the Eagles on the 30th. They've officially announced that. I don't like any of what I just said, but it is what it is.
All right, well, my parting shot is this. Eagles fans, listen up. Most of you expected 3, 4, 5, maybe 6 wins this season. You got all excited when the team won the first 3 games. Good, me too. Now relax and enjoy the season. Since Sunday night, we've read and heard that Howie Roseman is a bum again with a list of all his bad deals in the offseason. We've heard about how Peterson and Schwartz were out coached. We've heard that Kelsey stinks. Big B stinks. The linebackers stink. Cox is underperforming, and on and on. Oh, yeah, we even had an ESPN personality say if you praise Carson Wentz, you are dopes. It was one game in a season, or one and a half if you count the first half of the Lions game. This team can win 7 or 8 games. They're probably not making the playoffs. They have a rookie quarterback in Wentz that's going to be a star. The old saying, don't get too high and don't get too low, fits this situation perfectly. Sit back and enjoy the ride.
Sounds good. I agree.
All right. Okay, yep. Chad, as we are at the top of the hour, let's thank our special guest, D. Lynam, Fred Hugo, Carl's Cards and Collectibles for their continuing support of the show, Mary Flanagan, our marketing extraordinaire behind the scenes, and our sponsor, shopforkisses.org, the online shopping network of the Kisses for Kyle Foundation. For Jim Chetchesco, this is Bill Furman. We hope you enjoyed the show. We'll join Philly Press Box Radio next Wednesday, October 26th, for Dallas Week. You can listen through our new website, phillypressboxradio.com, or Facebook page, or on the internet at www.blogtalkradio.com/Philly Press Box Radio, or on both iTunes and Stitcher. High hopes, Philadelphia sports fans.
E-S-E-L-E-S-E-O!